Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
Well, Trump's Soviet-style show trial begins today.
No, no kidding.
And Donald Trump asking a very excellent question over the weekend on Truth Social. He's right. If this hush money payment situation was so illegal and so very necessary for our democracy that it be prosecuted, why wasn't it prosecuted before the statute of limitations expired?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good question.
This is such a reach. He said, why didn't this happen 7 years ago? And of course, it didn't happen 7 years ago because he wasn't a threat to the Democrats then.
Right.
And now he is, so he's on trial.
Multiple times.
Multiple times. I mean, this thing is just held together with scotch tape and yarn. I mean, it's ridiculous. Alvin Bragg, who brought the charges, was part of a race where everyone in the primary bragged that they would put Trump in prison. No, I will put Trump in prison. No, I will.
Yeah.
So they're openly ran on who was the best one to put Trump in prison. So they're not even hiding. That's the point.
It was a conviction in search of evidence.
Exactly. But when you look at how they have constructed this ridiculous case, it's 34 felonies, and it had to be 34 because they figure, okay, if we throw enough in front of a jury, surely they'll go for one, right? The core crime alleged is falsifying business records. It's a misdemeanor. This is the Stormy Daniels hush money trial. Falsifying business records. Okay. So to turn the misdemeanor into a felony, Bragg had to claim Trump falsified records in the act of committing another crime. But Bragg has not charged Trump with any other crime. Bragg stacked the charges to come up with 34 felony counts against Trump based on what was essentially one payoff. And his effort to boost the case from a misdemeanor to a felony depends on a highly debatable reading of campaign finance law. And this is hilariously... Bragg's star witness is Michael Cohen, who is, in the New York Times' own words, quote, a disbarred lawyer who served prison time after pleading guilty to violating campaign finance laws, evading taxes, making false statements to a bank, and perjuring himself, i.e. lying to Congress.
Well, sounds like a perfectly reasonable witness, doesn't it?
Yeah, so, you know.
Somebody we can put a lot of confidence in.
Absolutely. So here's the guy who got convicted of lying to Congress, and he's your star witness against Donald Trump. Okay, this is such a joke. No one would try this in a normal criminal environment. First of all, a judge had tossed it out a long time ago in a normal American criminal justice system environment. But this is New York, and it's not normal. So they've got this whole thing, you know, just they're hoping they can get a juror to go along with this. And when you look at it, the reality of a New York jury, if you're sitting on it, more than likely your friends, your family, your coworkers hate Donald Trump. You do not want to be the person, and it's only going to take one to say no, because, you know, you need obviously unanimous, jury support for a conviction. So what they're trying to do here is hard in that it's such a weak case and they only need one to say no. But on the other hand, the psychology of it is, you know, in New York, if you're the one who lets Donald Trump the Nazi off on his charges when you could have saved America from the Nazi Donald Trump, you're going to get a beatdown. You're going to get it at work. You're going to get it from your neighbors. You're going to get it from your family. So the pressure here is going to be incredible on this jury if they can make sure there are no Trump supporters on it, which shouldn't be too hard to do. It's New York. So going to be very interesting, Lee.
Yeah, I was still just like all of these things. It's like just nothing but show, nothing but show.
Yeah, and as Byron York pointed out this weekend, and he's right about this, after this trial, if things turn out like Trump's enemies hope, and he's found to be a felon, every single Democrat reference to the former president, every political ad, every party utterance will refer to Trump as a convicted felon, Donald Trump.
Well, that's the goal.
That is the goal.
It's, you know, it's campaign ad copy. That's what this is about.
But this is truly historic. We've never seen a thing like this. I mean, not a standard bearer party representative facing so many felony counts. And the party went, we don't care. We know it's fake. We'll just nominate him anyway. And the fact that, you know, I mean, this could work. I mean, we could have a convicted felon running for president. I mean, I just, okay.
We were a rational republic at one time, weren't we, Tara?
Yeah, this is not a sign of a healthy country.
No, no.
You know, it's just, it's really not. Meanwhile, we're seeing Walmarts across the country rip the self-checkout out.
Please don't. Just like, that's the only thing that's keeping me going.
I know.
To Walmart, at least. Not life in general, but, you know. It's like, it's been so nice recently. My wife and I do the shopping there, and we don't have to stand in line for the three checkouts that they have while there's 400 people in line to get the groceries each week. You know, we can go through there, scan it ourselves, bag it ourselves, and, you know, as much as I hate those darn plastic bags, which you can never get them to separate, at least you still can get done in and out of there in a reasonable amount of time.
Well, there are no cashiers at any of the places I check out that are faster than I am. I am fast. I am faster than her. I do not want to have a conversation with you. No offense. I got to get home. I'm busy.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have time. Right. And you get that old woman in front of you who's got 55 things in her cart. You've got two.
Yeah.
And you want to scream and tear your hair out.
Right. Well.
And that's where you are. Yeah. Well, that's where I am anyway. I just can't do it. But I just think it's interesting because Walmart is selectively ripping out these self-checkouts around the country, and they are not alone. And most of these originally got ripped out, like out west, you know, in more liberal areas where crime is more tolerated. But we're having our own. We're having our own White Horse Road Walmart self-checkout rip out.
Oh,
and Walmart says the customers have demanded it. Weird, huh?
No,
not anywhere else, though.
I don't think customers have demanded that. I'm
so
not
either.
Buying that line. I'm sorry.
I'm highly skeptical. Highly skeptical. I'm with you on that one. But the customers have not demanded this anywhere else. Well, remember that. And to me, this was shocking because this was just sort of about the moral degradation of this country. This study that came out from LendingTree that Gen Z shoplifts at a much higher rate than any other generation. I mean, dramatically higher. It's 37%. When Gen Z checks out at the self-checkout, okay, right. You see them there. You could tell basically how old they are.
Yeah.
37% of them are stealing. Highest ever. My generation's 15%. And so it has now become so expensive, they are having to rip the self-checkouts out because of this generation.
I guess my age group, folks, we don't shoplift. We just forget to scan something.
Yeah. Results the same, though. With me, it's more like, wow, those apples look like the other apples. What apples were they again?
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, popular chains, this is a New York Post, like Costco and Wegmans, have started to rethink the self-service machines. Walmart has even pulled kiosks from three of its New Mexico locations, and they said they were considering pulling them from others, and they were being honest. Yeah, it's because the shoplifting is just massive.
I tell you what I do like is the Sam's Club scan and go part of the app. That I resisted that for some time because I'm tired of, you know, putting all these companies on my phone and tying my, you know, bank account to things and everything. But first couple of times I use that where I can just scan the stuff as I put it in the cart and it does the QR code. So the you know, the guy at the woman at the, you know, door can let us out and check everything. That's brilliant. Brilliant. Works great. And I'm in and out of Sam's in no time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I have to check that out. Well, Apparently they do not want you, Gen Z, doing the checkout. You know what's interesting? Do you remember the article from the New York Post? I spent a long time on it because it just what it was about that I figured I'd read Bidenflation, right?
Right.
And that's why they're doing it. That's not the main reason that they're stealing. It's because they feel negatively about capitalism. This is according to the Lending Truth survey. They feel like large corporations are immoral. They exploit their workers and their customers for economic gain, that they are justified in shoplifting.
So it's equity.
Yes.
Social equity.
Yes. They don't feel guilty about it at all. And that has caused that mentality has caused such a problem that self-checkout stations, for the first time in the nearly three decades we've had them, it's like two and some change, they're having to rip them out. They haven't had to do this before.
So it reminds me of the 60s, stick it to the man. So
yes, that is literally what they're doing.
What is old is what is new is old, or old is new again, once again.
And so they're saying, you know, there's always been shrink, there's always been shoplifting, every generation shoplifts, but not like this one. When you look at, my generation, Gen X, Gen Z shops at more than shoplifts at more than twice the rate that we do. And that is why they feel like they should help themselves. They're making it right. They're doing a good thing, not just even for themselves, but they're doing a good thing, striking back, against the man, against the corporation. Damn. Here's the thing. Okay. Gen Z, we were not hearing this before the Summer of Love, were we?
No.
When the message put out, corporations bad, if you're mad, burn them to the ground. If you're mad, loot them. If you're mad, go take the stuff. If they have stuff and you don't have the stuff, it's wrong. They have the stuff. They probably did something wrong. You are justified in taking it to even it up. I mean, that's been the message from the left, and you're seeing this. Now it's so bad, we have to go backwards on self-checkout. So far, Walmart is only removing the self-checkout from the White Horse Road Walmart here in the upstate. But I don't buy the line from Walmart. Oh, the customers demanded it. Yeah. Said no one ever. No, I want to stand forever online with my cart of stuff waiting for that little old lady in front of me to check out her 57 things. And then write a check.
No, that didn't happen.
No, never.
Not at those things, because nobody takes checks anymore. Not at a Walmart. Do you have to go to the, take a card or nothing?
I saw a lady write a check the other day. It was at a grocery store. I was like, no, you are not. You are not. No, I can't stand it. I'm twitching. My ice cream is melting. Get out of my way. So look, if I can't use a self-checkout, I'm just not shopping where you are. I don't have time. I can't do it. I can't do the self-checkout. I mean, I can't do it without the self-checkout. I'm fast. I'm efficient. I'm affordable. I'm out the door. So texture rates. I don't buy the justification from Gen Z that they're getting back at the rich, greedy companies. They're godless and they don't care about stealing and they're selfish. That's the real reason. Everything else is simple and excuse. Now, I agree with you, but I think that the media gave them that justification during the Summer of Love. Remember when the New York Post was even arguing that retail theft wasn't a crime?
Yeah.
It was property crime is not crime.
Right.
Yeah, I think this generation heard that. I think they heard it loud and clear. So we'll see. But unless you want to go through the customer service line, self-checkout is going away at the White Horse Road Walmart. I don't drive there anyway because everybody gets hit on White Horse Road. Have you noticed that? All the accidents, they're all on White. Anyway,
yeah.
Too dangerous. So we'll see if all the other Walmarts get to keep their self-checkout in the upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Somewhere deep inside FBI headquarters, they are laughing. They are laughing their rear ends off at how stupid the Republicans are. The same FBI that lied to the FISA court, that's perjury. It's felony level, but you got to be charged with it, and our corrupt DOJ won't do it, lied to the FISA court to create the Russia collusion hoax. The same FBI who hundreds of thousands of times a year breaks the law and pulls Americans' data out of the NSA database. All we wanted was a damn warrant. Get a warrant. Folks, the NSA database, the whole FISA apparatus, was only supposed to be used to spy on terrorists or potential terrorists in other countries, not Americans. But the NSA said, hey, we'll just scoop up like all this info here off these cables. And guess what? You've got a digital folder. So do I. Every keystroke you've ever typed, even if you didn't send it, something in anger, you typed to your wife but never hit send. They got it. They got it. They got your phone calls. They got your emails. They got your texts. They have everything you've ever bought, every financial transaction you have ever done. They know your porn habits. They know what you like and what you don't like. And it's all illegal, damn it. And all we asked of the Republicans, make them get a warrant next time. But it was too much. 212-212 with our no good Speaker of the House breaking the tie vote in favor of tyranny. They deserve what they get. Because it's only going to be the Republicans terrorized by this. Let me give you an example of the horrific and illegal way that the FBI has used this. 3.4 million searches last year, 30% of them illegal. Just went in, looked up lovers, friends, people down the road. And the worst part of this, 2018, FBI and DOJ's own contractors, they admit, did more than 1,000 illegal searches using the NSA database, targeting not Democrats, Republicans, who were primary candidates across the country. They targeted Republican primary candidates between November 2015 and May 2016. What are they doing? Compromise. They're looking for anything they can use. These people should have gone to prison, every one of them. This is why we needed to change it. You need a warrant. You needed a warrant. How bad was it in 2021, the first year Joe Biden took office? Here's the FBI. Here's Brett Baer, Fox News' report on the FBI's FISA abuse query. You know what they did? 19,000 donors, Republican donors, were searched in the FISA database, all their personal information taken. It's only supposed to be used to go after terrorists and only terrorists in other countries. This is outrageous. That it was the Republicans, the Republican-controlled House that said, you know what, put us all in prison. We probably deserve it. Just, yeah, you know, just go ahead. No, you don't need a warrant, honey. This whole ridiculous idea, well, we need to do this to catch terrorists. We'll catch just as many terrorists if they have to go get a warrant. We'll catch just as many terrorists if you say, you know what, designate five people at the FBI. That's it. Nobody else can search. Since most of your searches are illegal anyway, then you should be able to sit them there and get them to do the searches. Simple things that would stop the law breaking. Republicans couldn't do it. Could not do it. So they telegraphed to the FBI on Friday when Mike Johnson broke the vote, you know, tie-breaking vote. You know what? Just go ahead and put us all in prison. We're innocent, but we don't care. Yeah, hey, just spy on all of us. Make up some more Russia collusion hoaxes. Hey, do y'all want a new headquarters? We'll build you another one. This is how bad it is. Listen to this. This is from 2021, and still they give them the power to terrorize Republicans.
Brett, good evening. This story is quite something. This court document released just a few hours ago found that the FBI misused a popular digital surveillance tool on everyday Americans more than 278,000 times in 2020 going into 2021. We're specifically talking about Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, also known as FISA. It gives the FBI and other agencies the ability to digitally surveil without a court order or a warrant.
Outrageous.
We now know the FBI used the tool on people connected to the civil unrest following the death of George Floyd on the streets of the United States, those involved in the January 6th Capitol attack, even political donors. According to the court, a redacted name or names, quote, conducted a batch query for over 19,000 donors to a congressional campaign.
Yeah, it was a Republican congressional campaign. They're building lists. It's so obvious. They're building lists of donors. For what? I don't know. For what later? I don't know. But that's what they're doing. And we just said, yeah, sure, no, that's fine. No, that's what you want to break the law? Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. Just treat us as domestic terrorists. Folks, Biden tells us we're domestic terrorists all the time. And now they're using the terror tool that was only supposed to go after terrorists. And the Republicans voted to do it. By the way, this moron. I want to single out this moron this morning. Congresswoman Debbie Lesko, what a moron. We needed one vote. One vote and we could stop them. Here's what she writes. I am very disappointed that I was unable to be in Washington, D.C. today due to having the flu. She had the flu, so she didn't have time to save your Fourth Amendment rights, and they're gone now. Had I been able to vote, she says, I would have supported today's FISA reauthorization. Are you kidding me? If I was in the hospital full of tubes, I'd have had them roll me down the aisle just to give the FBI a, because they're laughing this morning. They're laughing, and they're planning who they're going to put in prison next on fake charges while they search me, you, and everybody under the sun. Did Joe Biden greenlight the Iranian bombing of Israel? Sure looks like he did. Wait, what? Wait. No, Joe Biden was running around all weekend. Well, at least his people were. He was on vacation. He was at the beach, which is where I guess he'll go during World War III. I don't know. It's the rate he's going here. Reuters threw him under the bus. Reuters article that ran in the Jerusalem Post. And what it said was that he greenlit the Iranian attack on Israel via Turkey. Washington, so again, this is mainstream media. It's going to be very interesting to see if this will be ignored, blacked out here in America. Will they get away with that? I don't know. But Reuters reported that Washington had conveyed to Tehran via Ankara, so that's Turkey, that any action it took had to be within certain limits. So publicly, you're watching Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris said it too, to Iran, don't do it, don't hit Israel. Privately, via Turkey, they're saying, well, hit him a little. We're kind of cool with that. We're good with it. You know, we got you back. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Just hit him, but don't hit him too hard. Don't kill too many people. What have I been telling you, folks? For whatever reason, we are on both sides of these things. If you are fortunate enough, and you're very fortunate, to be an enemy of the United States of America right now under Joe Biden, you have hit the jackpot, my friend. We will pay you. We will pay you when you kill our troops. We will pay you to kill our troops. We will pay you when you brain damage 130 of our troops with catastrophic brain injuries they will never recover from. That's how many have sustained catastrophic brain injuries in attacks by Iran or its proxies on our bases since this fall. And Joe Biden cannot even be bothered to reapply the Trump sanctions, which cost Iran $100 billion a year and had the mullahs regime on the verge of collapse. I think that it would have collapsed had Trump won again. So let me tell you what's going to happen next. Because Biden greenlit this, Biden is playing both sides of this thing. You're going to see him and his regime refuse to lift the $16 billion they are giving Iran in tranches. Folks, this shouldn't be that surprising, although I was still shocked by it this weekend. It was just shocking that we know. You suspected it was going on, but you didn't know. Reuters threw Biden under the bus for some reason. Approved Iran's assault on Israel within certain limits. And of course they did. We paid for it. You paid for it. We all pay for it. Let's go back through the history here, because it's pretty shocking if you look at it honestly, with what Biden has done. Okay, so it's the month before the horrific October 7th Jewish genocide by Hamas. It's a month before. What does Biden do? He gives Iran $6 billion on 9/11. What does that mean? We're cool with Islamic terror. Please give us some more of it. That's what that means. That's why you wait till 9/11. A month later, Iran, clearly having gotten the message, did what? The October 7th massacre. It was so horrific. Women were stabbed with knives as they were raped. Families were burnt alive. And that's the New York Times version of the story. And Joe Biden's administration looked at that and went, cool, thumbs up. Hey, do y'all want $10 million more? Because billion. Do you want $10 billion more? Because we can get that for, oh, you do, okay. So here, have this $10 billion too. And they lied to the American people. They said, oh, it's for humanitarian aid. Oh, cool. Well, who's drawing it down? Well, the Iranian regime is. Oh, we can trust them. We can totally trust them. Well, everybody immediately pointed out it's fungible. If you give them $16 billion for X, they'll just take that money and move it over for military preparedness and to give to the Houthis and to hit Israel, which they ultimately did. $16 billion. Okay. Trump had $100 billion a year in sanctions on them just for being the world's main sponsor of terror. You realize they've killed 5 troops since this fall, and Joe Biden never applied that? He never put it back on? Why? Biden and Obama need Iran fully funded so they can what? Hit Israel, just as Joe Biden gave them permission to. By the way, if you want to read the article, I've got it up on my Twitter. You can always find Show Prep up on Twitter. For those of you who use this show in the rest of the country, talk radio needs to be talking about this today. Stop with the stupid, oh, Joe Biden's weak, that's why Iran attacked. That is not why. He paid them to attack, and they started paying them to attack with the pallets of cash they lied to Congress about. Oh, us? No, we didn't send Iran pallets of cash in the middle of the night on an airplane. Okay, well, maybe we did, but it was only $400 million. Oh, well, he's actually $1.2 billion. Sorry. Oh, hey, you know, it was $1.7 billion. It was really helpful for their nuke program. I mean, for, like, we just gave it to them. This has been going on since Obama. It's not shocking, and yet it is still shocking. Both sides of World War III, folks. They want World War III. I don't know why. You tell me. Text me, 71307, but they want it bad. Now, think about this for a moment. If you are one of our troops, if you are a parent of somebody who just wants to serve their country, what Joe Biden did this weekend and the horror of it. Because you know what we did? Headline, U.S. moves more forces into the Middle East to prepare for imminent Iranian strike on Israel. So Joe Biden, via Ankara, his people anyway, that by Turkey, they say to Iran, you know, okay, you can hit him. You got our permission. Go ahead, hit him. We know we gave you the money to do that. Go ahead, hit him. But it's not like not too hard. You realize this is Iran's first direct strike on Israel, and what a big deal that is. So at the whole time, Biden's administration is saying, yeah, go ahead, hit him. Yeah, we're fine. No, we're cool. We're going to tell the world we support Israel, but like actually just hit him. You're fine. We're moving Middle East. We're moving our forces into the middle of the shooting war. We have greenlit. That's what this headline means. U.S. moves more forces into the Middle East to prepare for an imminent Iranian strike. So what does that mean? You join the military right now, Joe Biden will parade you by the enemy after funding the enemy. When the enemy kills or brain damages you, Joe Biden will take no meaningful action. And the only revenge you will get will be if Israel gets it for you. That's why Israel blew up the consulate in Syria. They were going after one of the Iranians who planned October 7th. And the true horror of it, the missiles they used, I'll tell you where those came from in the next segment. This is going to blow your mind. Well, I got a new report from the wild world of William Timmons, our Congress member. Fitz News. Here's, okay. I'll just read it. Officials with the U.S. Transportation Safety Administration, TSA, are investigating an incident which reportedly took place last weekend at the Greenville-Spartanburg Airport involving U.S. Congressman William Timmons, who is up for re-election right now. Will Folks, who writes for Fitz News, says he has FOIA'd them because he wants video files, audio files, anything from the encounter. They have reached out to Timmons directly to get his take on what transpired. Here's what we know. The TSA is investigating an incident, and that was initiated after complaint from Timmons. Okay. That's what's on the record right now. Look, I'll tell you what I got off the record. I usually don't jump the gun like this, but I feel fairly confident about what I've got. That Timmons, I am told, I don't have it on the record, so when I do, I'm gonna tell you that's the deal. This is what I'm hearing off the record, okay? So what am I telling you? Take it with a grain of salt. This is what I'm hearing, though, from two sources. Timmons got pulled by TSA for a more extensive search, and he didn't like it. And it got tense, is what I am being told. There's also some involvement, apparently, with our sheriff's office as well. It got tense. So, that is it, but that is why you're going to start to see a lot of the media pursue that, see if they can get the video right now from the whole thing. Look, I don't know the details of it. I was not able to secure the details beyond that. Who was in the right, who was in the wrong, I don't know. So I'm just telling you what I am hearing from some pretty good sources. So I don't know how this is going to play, if that is in fact correct and my sources are good, but I don't know. Look, I'm a person who I know was put on for harassment purposes, some kind of watch list, because every time I fly, I get this treatment 100% of the time. Until the last time I flew, it didn't happen. But it would also be either me, you know, the child flying with me, my child, my dad one time. I mean, everybody gets the humiliating total search. So I must have come off the list, because last time I flew, it wasn't like that, but it has been that way for years. And every time I talk to other talk radio hosts, same thing. They'll say, oh yeah, that happens to me. I can't fly. I know I'm getting pulled. I will go to the airport early because I know I'm getting pulled. And I know I'm getting pulled because I'm on a list. It's punishment. It is. For speaking out against our government. I'm not alone in this. It's one of the things I like to ask other talk hosts. They're like, yeah, that happens to me every time, every single, yeah, I know. So I don't know. Apparently Timmons didn't like it. I've been very mixed about that kind of story. I want to hear all the details. Obviously, the people working the TSA line, they just follow what's in the computer. They're just peons. So I don't know. But this is making waves, and we will keep our eye on it. But that's the version of it I got. We'll see how close my sources got. Again, I did not confirm it. This is what I've been able to get off the record. So I am looking forward to getting more information on it as well, and I'll reserve judgment till I have all the facts. But that is what I am hearing went on.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.